Okay, so let's go on to, we're going to finish the wands real quick. Page of Wands. Dreamy, philosophical, thoughtful child or teenager. Everybody got your wands out?
Yeah.
For leftover from this morning? Also, a small action in a wand-like activity, such as writing, teaching, study. If this were a course of study, it would very much probably be like a single course or a weekend course or a special course, as opposed to a regular course of study, like not just even like getting a PhD or going to university, but anything that you would take for several weeks on end, okay? So, and also the Page of Wands is a small opportunity for doing these things. You might get asked to write an article. You might get asked to write a poem. You might get asked to teach a class. You wouldn't get asked with the Page of Wands to teach a course at a university. You would get asked to teach a class, perhaps even at Lilydale or at a church. Okay, or you might get asked to, what did they call it when they're chairing a church? At your church,
listen.
Chair? Ministering, isn't it? Aren't you?
Chairperson.
No, well, it's more than that, isn't it? Aren't you like being a minister? Or, okay,
well,
so when you have to lecture or do give the sermon or something like that? Yeah. So you could be asked to do that. You could be asked to do something precise and small in teaching, communicating, writing. You could even ask to write a letter if you were in an organization or on a board of something. You could be asked, and that, of course, is a little piece of communication. So, so anyway, that's it's in action. Anything that is, and it's, of course, it could be any small piece of independent study. You don't have to go to a formal class. You could be studying and reading something on your own, okay? All right. Any questions about that upright? He is, well, he is a messenger, and that's why you could get a small, you could get a phone call. You can get a message from somebody. Somebody you talk to, haven't talked to in a long time, or indeed even talk to regularly, could connect with you. It's any little bit of communication. So he is a messenger, for sure. Okay? Is his feather red on his hat?
Yes. Yeah.
See, that's that small bit of communication, action of the mind. His whole hat isn't red, but just an itty bitty feather right on, right above his brow chakra, right?
Yeah.
Right above his brow chakra. And he's really lost in thought looking at the growth on the end of his wand, right? So he's a very contemplative fellow if it's a person. Okay, in the reverse, yes, Amy. Yeah, it is. It's a lizard. It's a lizard eating its tail, right? Let me see. Can I just pick yours up so I can get a close look? No, he's not eating the tail. He's just crawling in circles. Yeah, he's crawling in circles. Okay. And I really, although sometimes lizards do reflect lower emotional experience, remember the lizard we had in the Eight of Cups? Remember the lizard we had in the Eight of Cups where, you know, it's got its tongue, forked tongue out, and it's got its back raised and all of that? This lizard is different than that. This one looks like a little newt. Like a little newt. Yes, and he's going in circles, so that could show some kind of circular activity with the message or with the activity, but I don't know that it necessarily does so. Right?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I gotta see the colors again. Thank you, honey. Yeah, see, that's right. He is, and indeed, look at the three pyramids.
Yeah.
Which is like the great pyramids at Cheops. There are three of them, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And
but he still has small growth in a desolate area on his wand.
Yes, he still has growth on his wand. So there's not, it's not a space of, it, well, it might be somewhat arid, it's not a space of growthlessness. But there are the mysteries behind him. Those pyramids, this is the only card with pyramids in it.
Knight of Wands has
Huh?
Knight of Wands.
Oh, yes, that's right. The Knight of Wands has pyramids in it. The same three pyramids. So the Wands, page and Knight of Wands are action of mind. So they have the three pyramids in it. And perhaps that's why they're in the desert. Of course, they're not going to plop the great pyramids of Cheops, you know, in the Rocky Mountains.
So there may be some mystery involved in their thoughts.
Certainly, and certainly some action of, you know, that's deeply seated in mysticism and things that are yet unknown or unknown from the past. So yes, that's right. The Knight of Wands has it too. And I don't think there are any others. I don't remember any others with pyramids in them. So okay. Any other questions about this upright? Okay, so turn it upside down. And of course, if it's a child or a teenager, if the person is upside down, it's concern or separation from that child, from that contemplative, dreamy, thoughtful child. Or it can be, if it does represent a person, it could also represent a young person who is misdirected in his mind or confused in his mind, or indeed even misdirected about his own academic pursuits, like he's in college but he doesn't know which way to go, that kind of thing. Or it could be somebody who's a kid who's having trouble at school because the wand is, you know, study, academics, intellect, and it's reversed. Okay. If it represents this little piece of action that we talked about in writing or teaching or speaking or chairing or giving a sermon or giving a lecture, whatever have you, it's reversed. It's be delayed. The reversal is just like the reversal of some of the other action cards. There's a delay with this process. Or they could have been asked to do it, but they have delayed it because they haven't written their speech. Or they haven't created the curriculum for the class that they wanted, that they were asked to teach. So there's a delay with starting it, or a delay with getting it, getting the project, or with doing the project. Does that make sense? Everybody there? Okay. Knight of Wands is the Page of Wands with more action. It's the same kind of temperament if it's a man, but it's an older man than the Page of Wands. It's still a younger man than the King of Wands, but it's not as young as the Page of Wands. Okay? So he has all those mental kind of abstract, conceptual, sometimes dreamy, a little hesitance, or it could actually sometimes indicate a student in college. Okay. Just like the Knight of Pentacles, if it shows a career, it could indicate a lawyer. This could indicate a student in college. Okay. And this is much larger action of study, communication, writing, teaching, speaking, all wants and suit activities. Everything that we talked about with the page, only a much more broad scale experience. Any questions about that? Okay. Yes, yes, I.
Do you have, for example, multiple court forms? Say you have something reversed with.
I can't see any. The Page of Wands.
Yeah. With a queen. How do you read two people together, something like this?
Two people together could be two people together. Now, that particularly, she has the Page of Wands reversed next to the Queen of Pentacles upright. That particularly could indicate a woman who is so busy with her work at this time that she has some distance from her children or a child. And her child, and the child could be upside down about that, or the child may regularly need help with this homework, or might be in a little bit of confusion himself, but she's so busy with her work that she's not able to pay that much attention. The only other way I would do interpret that is that that could be a woman who works with disabled children, works with children who have behavioral problems, or as a psychologist who is a child psychologist.
So you would read it as, for this, you would read it as two people who you're talking to them,
yes,
as opposed to action.
It depends on all of the other cards. To be honest, the Knight of Wands reversed next to the Queen of Pentacles could indicate that her work could, at some point in time, be inclusive of writing, speaking, teaching, training. But she's not doing it now because the card's upside down. She's not doing it now if the card's upside down, but if it comes upright, then she could be doing it. But that's not a child card. So if it's a child card, it could be a child in her life. Yes, that's more of a person. It could still be, a Knight of Wands could still be a person, but especially if it's next to a Queen of Pentacles, it could be action of teaching, training, counseling, writing, speaking, that has to do with her work, or introduces her to a new line of work. Any other questions? Yes, over there. Not particularly. These wands seem to have that same lizardy kind of thing on it, but I haven't particularly. You can tell this is not a fighting knight. He has no armor. Okay? He has no armor. He has a helmet, but he has no breastplate. And of course, he does have it on his shoulders. Well, he does. His arms and extremities are covered, and perhaps he has it underneath the thing. Let's take a look at the Knight of Pentacles for a minute, or Knight of Swords. I mean,
Knight of Wands.
Yeah. See, the Knight of Swords. He does have a cape on, but his armor is over the sleeve, not under. So I don't know. Even if he does have armor on and it's under, it's not as prevalent. I guess the Knight of Cups also has his cloths over the armor. Actually, the Knight of Cups doesn't seem to have armor on at all.
Well, they have their neck plate on.
They have their neck plate, the head plate. They seem to have something on their arms. But he actually has nothing on his shoulders, the Knight of Cups. So what's the Knight of Pentacles look like? Say that again?
I was wondering if the armor ever represented boundaries or a persona or wearing a mask.
Well, it certainly represents certain levels of temperament and activity, okay? So the Knight of Pentacles, he has armor on, but his cloth is over too. I think the Knight of Swords might be the only one that hit where the arm, you don't see the cloth first. But it's indicative of what a knight wears. You know, it's indicative of what a knight wears. Yes?
I think it's interesting that, I don't know if it's feathers or flames, because he has feathers coming out of his top, his head, but the flames coming off his back are feathers. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that may be cloth that's meant to represent flames. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's actual flames.
Yeah.
But in the picture, there would be more of a fire energy. It's just,
yeah. Are tattered,
Yeah, I don't see that as tattered as much as scalloped. There's
well,
no.
I'm comparing it to the feathers or whatever.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The flames.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly. Like tongues. So what do you think upside down? Anyone? This is, yes, Debbie?
Well, the larger project won't go as expected. It might be delayed. You won't get the message in time.
Absolutely. An obstacle to pursuing an academic, writing, teaching, counseling, training endeavor, any communication endeavor. And this doesn't have to be somebody who is in a communication industry. For instance, If, for instance, you make jewelry and you're setting up a website, the setting up of the website could be depicted by the Knight of Wands. And it's working if it's upright. If it's reversed, it's obstructed or delayed or slowed in some way.
Like Mercury going backwards.
What's that?
Like Mercury going backwards.
Yes, like Mercury going backwards. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be, you wouldn't read it as a Mercury retrograde. It wouldn't be something that you would say, don't take initiative under this. It's actually indicative of a trend where the person isn't taking as much action in writing or teaching or lessoning as they need to. So the key words for this is action of the mind and communication.
Is upright, is he also a messenger card?
Yes, it could be a messenger card, more likely the page, because the page, a message is a message, it's not a book or, you know, something like that. Yes?
Do you think, Sharon, that there's a wee bit of ownership about this delay for the person, because it is?
There absolutely, the delay could be caused internally, the delay could be because of their procrastination, the delay could be because their hesitation, they don't like the public speaking thing, but it could also, the obstruction could be external or actual too. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions about it, upright or reversed? All right, let's take a look at the what is it you call this? The Queen of Phalluses or something? Someone once said, and I won't point fingers, that if you turn it upside down, you could see a phallus in her dress. I know, I did point finger. I just went like this. And everybody, I did say, absolutely, notice what compels you, so we know what compels Cindy.
I mean, it's obvious.
Debbie.
What's
You gotta have fun, guys. It's gotta be fun. If it's not fun, it's not worth it. Okay. There aren't any other cats in the tarot deck.
I noticed that there's lizards on either side of her. So
yes.
The king has lizards, the peg, and the knight. Yeah. And then she has.
Where does she have lizards?
She doesn't.
I thought you said on either side of her.
In the cards
on either side of her. Okay.
Is there a meaning behind it being the cat rather than the lizard?
Well, cat is yin. You know, I was going to say it's feline. Of course, it's feline, but cats are yin. They're animals of the night, right? They're also very independent, very self-actualized, self-realized. There is a self-actualization, a self-realization. This woman is aligning her to the energies of the cat. And also black is yin. So this person is very reflective, very yin, of course, very thoughtful. And notice, I don't know, but there are lions on the throne. Are there lions on the throne of the king? Yeah. And yeah. Right. But she has the lions. She has the lions on the top, as if it's a crest above her crown. So, did you have your hand up, Anne?
No.
Okay. What's that?
Pussycat.
It's a pussycat. Yes. And of course, the lions are, and of course she has the sunflower, right? Yeah. That's spiritualism, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Waite decided that to use a sunflower because it was spiritualism, but there are no accidents, right? Why aren't her legs apart? They are apart.
Why are they?
She's balanced.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She's balanced. She's, you know, there's no need. His legs are, the King of Wands is apart too. The King of Wands legs are apart too.
There's a kitty cat face that's like a brooch for her cape. It's a face.
Oh, yeah, at the thing. That's right, there is. So yeah, there's and there's the lions above her, the lions on her throne. So what's that? So wands, this is a woman of words. I call this the woman of words, the woman of mind. It's, if it's a woman, it's a conceptual woman with her feet on the ground. That's the balance that she and the King of Wands have by her feet, their feet not together, but very balanced on the ground. And her eyes, she's not totally facing the future like the Queen of Swords, but she is facing the future with her face. She's turned there. She's focused on her growth and expansion. She could be a teacher. She could be a counselor. She can be a writer, a publisher, a copy editor, a librarian, a published, an editor. Everything that has to do with any of those careers or any communication career. She could be a marketing agent. She could be a website designer. She could be a website facilitator or builder, which are all different things, right? And she could have all of those interests. She's very contemplative. There's a gentleness to her, but she does have certain mindsets. Okay. Yes?
Don't you find it unusual that the background on the left is yellow, but on the right it's gray?
That's just your
point. No, what? She's usually on the ground, right?
Oh,
on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the pyramids are on the
left. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's just that there's, yeah, maybe.
I guess it means it has meaning.
Kind of, right?
Well, I think that's balance, water and land.
I don't know if I see water there, but.
It's great.
But certainly, yeah, if there's the pyramids are on her left. I mean, on her right.
It could be that she's open to new ideas and things that have to the future.
Yeah, that's not impossible. That's kind of a little gray, and it's halfway between, you know, the gray that's on the top of her throne and the side of her throne. So, I don't know. It's kind of. I really wouldn't know that I would what I would read or that I would read any kind of significance in that distance or that difference. And certainly I'm certain that weight doesn't speak of it. Let me just take a quick look here. The wands throughout this suit are always in leaf. It is a suit of life and animation. Yes. No. He doesn't talk about the different colors. Lucinda?
Someone said androgynous, and I do find that interesting. So if you look at only the court cards, women don't look as much like women.
They're not. They're certainly a little more feminine than the men. But they you don't see the breasts that you see like in the Empress.
You don't see the hair.
Yeah, in her hair, she is wearing it in a style that women did used to wear, where it was all turned under here. But it certainly could look just like, you know, a page boy, really. And indeed, doesn't the Page of Wands actually have longer hair than anybody? No, the Page of Knights. The Page of Swords has a real long ponytail. So, yeah, no, that could be a page boy kind of thing. Yeah, there is some androgyny here. Mm-hmm,
well,
for sure.
Well, two of it's because it's the court level, so they're of higher power.
They are of higher power. Next to the majors, they are of the highest power. And indeed, the queens are the highest, technically the highest position that women can get to, and the king's is the highest power that men can get to, short of the major arcana. So yeah, there is definitely an indication of a higher power with that. And the androgyny also is reflective of sometimes you can get a queen with a man and a king with a woman, you know, and much because of the temperament, you know. So I think that's also possibly intended even with making them androgynous. Because the women really don't have a lot of chest action happening. Well, we don't know what they do at night, but clearly.
Kiss the road.
That's another deck. You're telling me. There are some bodice-ripping decks out there, I'll tell you. Okay, so let's turn it over. And what do you think about it upside down? Yes, Debbie.
Trouble communicating,
a woman of a confused mind. If this is the woman of mind and words upright, it's a woman of confused mind and or little words or trouble with words upside down. If indeed it is a woman, okay? It could be somebody who loses the role of teacher, somebody who loses the role or the position of counselor, somebody who loses a role of a writer, who doesn't get their a writing contract, so to speak, or somebody who gets fired from Simon & Schuster or something like that, upside down. See, so this it's not just the feminine personal experience, but it could be somebody who loses the role of any one of those positions in those kind of industries, right? Any questions about that? And also somebody, I get this a lot with women writers who have always wanted to write a book but haven't started yet. An upside down person often can be, and this is true with any of the female court, well, any of the court cards at all, I don't know why I'm thinking female, but any of the court cards at all, and any of, and many of the major arcana, an upside down person can be an undiscovered self. And whatever discovery of that self needs to happen will depend upon the court, or the arcana, the major arcana, or the house. It's like there's a writer dormant inside her, and maybe it's there because she was a writer in a past life, and she has, you know, been told in reading she's supposed to write, or she wants to write, she's even taken writing courses, but I want to write a book, but I don't know what it's about, but I don't have the discipline, but I don't have the time, you know, that kind of thing. So it's the undiscovered self. Any troubles? Any questions? And upside down, it's the card of the lost kitty.
Yes. No, that's the lost. Oh, no, this is a male. I'm sorry.
If you get pulled to the cat on that upside down, and the person has a cat, I would say watch your indoor cats by the door. I really would, actually. So, anyway, okay. So let's look at the King of Wands. This is the man of the mind, the man of words. He's contemplative, though sometimes he lives in his head, I do have to say. This is somebody who doesn't, who or might not have, he still could be sensitive to other people's feelings, but he might not have this, he's not a touchy-feely guy like the King of Cups might be, okay? He has a very high capacity for grasping the bigger picture. He has a tendency to be overly ruminative, and he can sometimes become indecisive because he thinks too much, because he just thinks too much. Okay, so he might have trouble deciding. Upside down, he has really big trouble deciding, okay? Okay, he's a man of growth, but not necessarily a man of change. He wants to grow, but he likes things as he knows them to be, okay? So this is that kind of man, or that kind of qualities, you know, growing in a man or coming to a man. It's also positions. Like we said, every king has a role. Every queen has a role. This could indicate the role. A man getting the role of teacher, writer, publisher, all of the communication industries that we mentioned with the Queen of Wands. Counselor, professor, marketing guy, because that's communication. Admin. An admin is communication. Madman. Everybody here like Mad Men? I love Mad Men. Okay. All right, so what's it reversed?
Indecisive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Major procrastinator.
Lives yes.
entirely in his head.
Lives entirely. And even more, yes, more so to the point of knocking himself off of his feet. Yeah. And having difficulty with some relationships. I call the upside down King of Wands the man of the confused mind.
One book said it's a used car salesman.
Who said? One book said it's a used car salesman? Yeah. Oh, slippery, obsequious, oleaginous.
Smarmy.
Huh?
Smarmy.
Really smarmy. Bad ad man.
A bad ad man. Okay, and actually upside down, he can be disruptive to relationships and to others around him because he's so stuck in this convoluted, roundabout thinking kind of thing that he can't see another perspective. He can't see another viewpoint. He can't hear or see others trying to help him or give him new insights or, you know, share with him new, you know, perspectives on things.
Sharon, in light of what you just said, the salamander or whatever that is also trying to eat its tail.
Yeah, that's the one I must have been thinking about when I thought they were eating the tails, okay? I have to be honest with you, there are some histories where, like the snake eating its tail is gaining more wisdom. So I don't know if that's true in mystical symbology with the salamander eating its tail is gaining more wisdom, but that's what the snake eating its tail is, the wise gaining more wisdom. So, of course, in many other symbology, a snake isn't at all wise. You know, it's like what, isn't it the devil in the Garden of Eden? Wasn't Satan a snake? Yeah. Well, we'll go with this other thing. Yeah.
My husband has characteristics of all these reversed kings.
What's that?
My husband has characteristics of all these reversed kings, and I'm wondering why.
Do you know his birth chart?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's his Mercury in?
Oh, no, I don't know that.
Oh, you don't know it? Okay, so. All right. What? Hey, listen, people with a born Mercury retrograde have way less problems. Yeah, if you have retrograde Mercury in your natal chart, you don't ever have to worry about a retrograde Mercury in the sky.
No,
ever, ever, ever. You lucky dog. Yeah.
Do we have problems in the other?
Not too much. No, it just softens the whole Mercury retrograde thing. And indeed, it acts as some kind of ignition or catalyst. Because I know people with Mercury retrograde natally that actually get their new jobs under Mercury retrograde, meet their lovers under Mercury retrograde. It's just really insane. So, but I don't have it natally, so I can't understand that opportunity personally. Okay, so any questions about the, also don't forget, anything reversed, any court reversed is the reversal of a role too. So it's not just about the temperament. This could be a guy who is like VP of marketing in a big company who could lose his throne, who could get downsized or, as they say in England, redundant, you know. So it's somebody who's losing a position teaching, losing a position writing, losing a definition of self in one of those characteristics. So it's also the role. Okay, very good. All right, now let's go on back to the front of my book here. Okay, I'm going to hand you, everybody familiar with the Celtic Cross tarot spread? Okay, take a look at your handout. We're going to be doing a reading for ourselves, but first we're studying the cross. This is the Celtic cross, so take a look at your handout, okay? What you don't see is the first card that gets laid down like this, and this is the first card, this is the significator, the signifier. okay? It signifies the questioner. So in the Celtic cross, you would be asked to pull a card that would represent the questioner. And so you would put that there. For instance, say you were giving a reading to a professor, you might pull the King of Wands and put that there. Yes?
So we pull it, or yeah. They?
No, you.
Because we know what they mean. They
yeah,
know
right,
they
don't know what it means. Uh-huh. Yes?
I always struggle with the idea of like, if I have been pulled down, mm-hmm. and I pull one, I always struggle with someone that's got, I take them out of chance.
I do too. I was just going to talk about that. I was just going to talk about that. If you pull the significator out, for instance, you're dealing, say you're giving a reading to the King of Wands, to a professor at a university, and you pull the King of Wands to be a signifier of him, and you take it out of the deck, but you were meant to get the King of Wands reversed to talk to him about him being in a process of overthinking something or some tenuousness about his position, now you can't get that card reversed. Yes?
And what happens, sometimes in mediumship, they don't want to tell you anything about themselves, and they just want a flat reading. So what about if you don't know anything about the sitter, and how do you know what card to pull?
You don't know what card to pull. If you would, you could do that by coloring. And if it's not a phone reader. You know, if you get a dark man, you could pull the King of Swords. But then again, there you are, minimizing how many cards you have in the deck, and not like you don't have, 70 plus cards, and with the reversed, 140 plus cards, So you have a lot of options to do readings. But no, I'm right with you. I don't like really pulling a signifier. I actually don't do this much. Actually, I haven't done it for decades.
Sometimes I do have a signifier or whatever, and I have a separate deck of pages that I keep and I put somewhere on there.
Yeah.
I always, even if I'm clarifying, I have to use a full deck.
Oh, yeah. Or you can start your reading with the signifier and have them, have them cut the cards like they would, and you're getting ready to read, and the top card becomes your first card. So whatever you get signifies something that's in this guy's life right now. If you get the Two of Swords, it signifies he's in an approach avoidance situation. If you get the Eight of Swords, he's feeling defensive. So you can start the reading with card number one. Okay? And then you don't have to pull a signifier. You don't have to worry about whether it's correct for him. You just start and let the cards tell you what card in the deck signifies him most today. So you start with the first card and just put down the first card, and that's one. Then you put number two here, and that's what crosses him. Okay? Now, of course, what crosses you are the obstacles in front of you. Okay, or the challenges that are coming to bear in your life, whatever, or the cross you have to carry, the things that you have to work with, the things that might be obstructing you in any kind of way or slowing you down in any kind of way. Being crossed is being crossed. It's not, this is what's helping you. What crosses you is what's hindering you, usually. Okay, yes?
I'm kind of confused on the signifier
now. Okay. Bless you.
The one you put down your first card,
right?
You've taken it out of the deck.
If you've done it the way that they teach you to do it, if you've done it the traditional way of reading the Celtic cross, that's what you do. You're supposed to pick somebody a card out of the deck that is like or supports or signifies the person for whom you're reading.
Before you pick the one.
That is the one.
So
that is the one.
That
you're not using a predetermined signifier. You're using the first card out of the deck to signify this person and something that's of import to him today. In other words, you're not putting anything down before you start the reading, and your first reading is vertical, number one up. And what it
like a precursor to the reading, then, and now it's in the reading.
Now it's in the reading.
Okay.
And it's about the guy, and it's something about the guy that you can tell him about, rather than just using the King of Swords for a dark man, which is what all the books tell you to do to get signifiers. I guess that's why they had to put coloring to the thing, so if a dark man came your way, you would know how to use the signifier.
But if I don't even know that, I can just do this way.
And even if you, like, I don't like to take my deck, I like to have every option in my deck. Okay, so I use do it this way. I take, let the first card fall and see what that signifies about this person now, okay, to me, and that he needs to know. Okay, everybody see that?
Yeah.
Okay,
and that's
so
the same topic as what covers the Quirin.
What covers the Quirin?
So you're making that the same card. What signifies him is what covers. In other words, the main theme of
right.
Him right now.
Right. 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 Yes, that's right. And I did skip the cover. Okay. Yes. Number one is the cover, and it's vertical, and you cover the Quirin. But what covers it, if you pull a card for the first card, it really is the focus on what's covering him now. So you just go right into the reading is essentially what it is. And the first card you put is the important issue that the Quirin needs to know about now. And then the second one is what crosses him, what stands in his way, or what slows him down, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you number three and four. I put three at the bottom and four at the top because bottom is foundation and four what's on your mind, all right? I think it's for weight, and I might be getting my books mixed up. I think it's for weight. He has three at the top and four on the bottom, okay? But your foundation is built before you move into the air. Mm-hmm. You don't build the roof of the house before you build the basement of the house, right?
Yeah, I think the way they say this, like, that the top one covers everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, it covers, right. Mm-hmm. Well, what crowns the Quirin,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I put the third one, the foundation, first. And some of the books put it, the foundation, after the crowning, okay? But before you even earn a crown, you have to build your foundation. So, of course, the third one underneath all of that is what the foundation the questioner has built in his or her life, okay? What is supporting them now, what they're standing on now, so to speak, okay? And then number four is what crowns him or what he has earned, what he has achieved, that type of thing, okay? So we're looking into achievements now and perhaps even seeds of what achievements are to come because it's what crowns him, okay? So there may be achievements there that aren't yet fully manifest, but still there in energy. So you could get a success card where he's not a success yet, but it's coming to his energy, right? Okay. Okay, now, and five and six, I don't know if it's weight or somebody else, but that's reversed too. In some of the books, they put not the title of that position, but the number in which they lay it down. The titles of the positions are all the same in all the books, but some people actually put five down to the right and six to the left after that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You follow the chronology. You put the first card to the left and the next card to the right. Of course, then the card that's to the left is what lies behind the Quirin. What is in this person's history? That's all it is. What's the history here? Okay? And what lies before the Quirin, which is what's in the immediate future, is number six. And then we have a vertical line going up here, and seven is his personal expression. Eight is his environment, people and things and activities and situations that are around him. Nine is his hopes and fears, and 10 is the outcome. Now, you might ask, the outcome of what? Did he ask a question? Well, maybe he asked a question. Sometimes people ask a question when they sit down with a tarot reader. but it's the outcome, it's the ending. It's not really an ending, as we talked about yesterday. Endings are always followed by new beginnings, you know, in the Yi Ching. You can't, there is no ending, but it's the outcome for this reading. And on any one of these, you could lay, all right, say you get an outcome card. Okay, say you have the four cards here. And say you get the Page of Pentacles here. Okay? And pages are a little action, or it could be a child. Now, if this is a woman asking, am I going to have children, the Page of Pentacles is the outcome, because it's a child, right? Okay, but if this is a man asking about his career, and you the outcome is the Page of Pentacles, then you there's it's kind of like an outcome with the beginning. And you state that this is, this. Don't worry, even though this is little action of money making and little action of career, doesn't mean your outcome is only a little one. This is the stepping stone into your next phase. But if you wanted to put more cards on it, you could put three more cards like this right on top of it, or you could even do it on top of this if you want to do it above to get clarity. And you could get three more cards. And you could actually do that on any one of these. You could put three more cards or five on any one of these. You can, if say, which one is this? Is environment? No, that's nine. Personal expression. So you get something that's curious about a personal expression. So you could put five cards like this and get more about it. And you can do that in any reading we do this week. In any reading. Lucinda.
Whether you pick three or five or whatever number, is it, it's everything going forward, or is it a combination of history and going forward?
Oh, you mean is everything going forward from now?
Right,
no.
So
no.
Three cards.
If you lay down three cards, the first card should show the beginning, and that beginning could have already passed.
Okay.
Yes, but you kind of have to talk to the person, because if it's only three cards or even only five cards, if you get like the Ace of Pentacles as the first card here, you can say there's a new job here, she might say, oh, I just got that last month. Then you know that started last month. Oh, I'm up for a new job. And they're going to let us know in 3 weeks. So her response will be informative about what the timeline is. Okay.
So wherever that response starts in time.
Right. That yes. Forward. Then it is consecutive. Yeah. If these are certain events that shown, it's not that they're consecutively linked to each other, but that's pretty much the chronology. Yes. Yeah, and you could, like I said, you could lay 10, 15, 20 cards down until you get the specific card you're looking for. If someone's asking for a move, you can say, okay, I'm going to put cards down until I get a move. And then you'll know the number of months. Could we have the air on? I don't think it's on. Yes?
Would you lay out your 10, 9 or 10 base cards before you expand?
Yes. Well, yes. Yes, I would. Because if you expand before you finish the reading, you're altering the course of the reading.
And I
just had to think a moment, because I don't do this. I don't do the Celtic cross. Not like I'm teaching you something that's crappy and you shouldn't do. It's beneath me, but you guys do it. That's It's just that the wheel of fortune is so strong for me, I just don't do this anymore because the wheel works for me. But I want to teach as many readings, because different readings, people like different readings. So if you go home with a lot of different spreads, you'll have a lot to choose from. But I had to think for a moment about my wheel of fortune, and I absolutely always lay out all the cards before I lay extending of the circumstance or extending of the insight.
So yeah. Then does it follow that you would lay them all out and then begin talking?
Yes, and only when a further question comes up. You don't lay cards on every single card unless you want to do a 4-day reading. You know, you lay cards on the ones that you want more clarity or that he wants more clarity in. Okay? Lucinda.
You just mentioned something about timing. So if someone asks you a question let's say you have five cards there and you're talking about the moon.
Yeah.
And do you actually use intuition with timing, or do you count the cards?
I count the cards.
And each card always
is a month. Yes. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That's not always absolutely precise, but I'm amazed at how many people come to me and say, you know, you said we were going, you told me in 2010 that we were going to be moving in June of 2013. And that is a count, just a count. That's all I do is count the cards. And but there was no move card for a whole 3 years. I put down like 30 cards or something, okay?
But what happens if you have kind of like a relationship showing up that shows up in the cards, like in those five cards?
Okay.
Let's say it was like the third or fourth card, and then you say, how long will it be until that relationship shows up? Then how do you do that?
That actually, I don't know if, for instance, if it's in the hopes and dreams position, and the relationship is there, and it's the second card out, I would hesitate to say this relationship is in 2 months. To be honest with you. It was an assurance for that person, but if it's hopes and dreams, anything that's in the hopes and dreams position can just indicate their hopes and dreams, not their reality. Okay? So their hopes and dreams are, you know, what they're wishing for. It gives you insight as about them, and talk to them about, I see you're looking for a relationship. But then you can look in the outcome card, and if the relationship is the biggest question, you could put cards on top of that until you get lovers, Ten of Cups, Four of Wands, Knight of Cups, even Knight of Pentacles, and see which relationship card you get and count the cards up until that. But I wouldn't in the hopes and dreams, because it's not necessarily reality. Yes? What's that say? Oh, the travel cards are, and I might skip one, so the travel cards are the Knight of Cups. No, the travel cards. The travel cards are the Six of Swords and the Eight of Cups, but mostly the Six of Swords. And the World card. What did I say something else was travel? The Six of Swords, the Eight of Cups, the World card.
And the Move cards?
The Move cards are the Knight of Cups, the Eight of Cups, the Ten of Wands, and sometimes the World card.
Thank you.
And the relationship cards, just if you want them in clumps, is the Four of Wands, the Lovers, the Knight of Cups, the Ace of Cups. Oh, by the way, the Ace of Cups could also be a new house, so that could be a move too. Ace of Cups, add that to your move. The Ten of Cups, and the Ten of Pentacles, and the Four of Wands. Did I say Four of Wands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, honey? The move ones are the Knight of Cups, the Ace of Cups, the World, and the Eight of Cups, and the Ten of Wands. George?
Can you clarify how you tell time in the cards?
We're going to go into that a little bit more, especially with the thing tomorrow.
One other thing?
Uh-huh.
What's your thinking about having the sitter ask a question versus not?
Everybody? What, honey?
What's your thinking about having the sitter ask a question at the beginning versus not asking a question?
I think that's fine. But the sitter has to realize you may get something that, you know, they don't think they want to talk about right now, but guess what? Spirit has something else in mind, and so there's, you know, we're going to talk about something else.
You feel that one is better than another?
No, I don't feel that one is better than another. You're getting the information from spirit and from the cards and from your intuition, and you're going to get whatever you get regardless if they ask or not. Now, if it puts you in your left brain, thinking, oh, this person only wants to know about love. I better not talk about money. I better not talk about, what if a love card doesn't show up? Oh, there's a love card. What does that mean? If it puts you in your left brain, then it's definitely not better, right? But not because of their influence, but because of where it takes you, right? So, and in terms of, we'll do past, present, and future in terms of the circles of the Wheel of Fortune tomorrow, but past is pretty much to the left, present is center, future's right, and additional cards, each card is a month.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so any questions about this? Any questions about the Celtic? Yes, Carolyn.
Just the personal expression. That's okay. How you express yourself in the world or how you present yourself?
How you express yourself, present yourself, what you want to do creatively, how you want to express yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes, I'm a little confused. I know when I said hopes and fears, and you're saying hopes and dreams.
Oh, did I say hopes and dreams?
Is it hopes and fears?
It's hopes and fears. It's hopes, dreams, and fears, but I guess dreams is a synonym for hopes. Joanne?
And just for extra clarification, so sometimes you'll pull a few extra cards to indicate time, but sometimes you pull cards just to get more clarity?
I only pull cards to get more clarity, and then the cards will tell me the time element in the clarity.
Okay.
So if there's a question about time, I'll pull cards to get more clarity, but the length of time will be indicated by the cards, by the count of the cards, not, you know.
So is it possible you can get clarity and not have a concern time?
Yes, absolutely. It may not be a question about time, you know. So should I write a book? Isn't, you know, it's not, so should I write a book next week, right? So did someone else, Debbie, did you have your hand up?
I was going to ask, there were three numbers we didn't cover, 6, 7, and 8, just in general.
Say that again?
Number 6, what would you say about 6?
That's what's, 6 is what lies before the question?
No, not in the reading. I was just going to ask about...
Oh, in numerology. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. In numerology. 6 basically is the number of community and service. And certainly of community service. It's service to humankind, mm-hmm. giving, mm-hmm. and all sorts of energies of service,
okay.
and also focus on the larger community. Okay. 7, mm-hmm. did you say 7?
Yes,
7 is the bridge to spirituality. Okay. It's the first number of all the numbers that start to create an insight or an awareness of one's spirit. Or one's higher self, one's soul, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So there can be some polarities in a number 7, like between their personal life and their spiritual life, and feeling as if they can't bring their spirituality into their work, or vice versa, that type of thing. Okay. 8 is, oh, we talked about 8. Eight is the number of abundance,
yes.
and finances, and the lessons with 8 are all about deservability, and value, and personal value. Mm-hmm. So if there's any poverty or any kind of belief that there's poverty or experience of poverty, then the issues that lie before this person there's a need to recognize one's value. This person, he or she may devalue themselves relative to other people, others' opinions, other that kind of thing. Were you here when we did 9?
Yes,
did we do everything now, all the numbers? Okay. All right, great. Okay, you're welcome. All right, so yes.
When you do a reading and there are a lot of 8s, does that then bring you to the numerology?
Absolutely. If there are a lot of 8s, that can bring you to issues of the abundance, fulfillment, that type of thing. Yeah, Jane. 1 is independence, autonomy, new beginnings.
Uh-huh.
And 3 is society, leisure, family. Happy, joyful times, resting, that type of thing. 2 is duality, choices between options and bringing 2 together. For one-on-one counselors, you will get a 2 energy a lot, a lot. Or for people who, you know, partnering is an important thing, or one of their lessons, you'll get a 2.
So is 4 your career or 6 your career?
Say again, what?
Is 4 the career or 6?
There's not one number that is a career number. 4 is... What? We're talking numerology. Oh, you meant the houses. Oh, the numerology, there's no one number that specifically has to do with career exclusively. It's all personality and psychology and emotions and engagement. Like one is self-assured. Two is dealing with a significant other or dealing in a business where you deal with one at a time or having a lot of polarities in your life. Three is your family and family life, but it doesn't mean it's exclusive you to having a career. Four is hard work, but could be hard work in the garden as well as hard work in, you know, hard work in your astrology studies as well as at the workplace. So there's no one, no, five is diversity, six is service, and all the other ones. So there's no one numerology number that specifically focuses on career. It's all about one's temperament and lessons and focuses in this life and in this year too. You know, if you do your universal year, you should do your universal year to see what's up for you this year. Everybody know how to do your universal year? Okay, you take really quickly, then we're going to do readings. Okay, to get your universal year, oh, I'll just use this. To get the universe, to get your birth year, you just take, okay, you just take your birthday and you put not 11, not, like mine is 11, 14, I was going to make a joke and put 85, 50, okay? And actually it's 1950, you can't take out those numbers. So this is your birth year. So you add 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 4 plus 1 plus 9 plus 5 plus 0. And that actually adds into, I don't remember. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8. What?
22.
Oh, is that a 22? Oh, that's right, 22. Okay, yes, it is. See, I told ya. Okay, so what you do, so you take your year, you take your month and your birthday of the year, of this year, okay? So we cross this out, okay? And we would put 2013, okay? So we would add 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1 plus 3. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, which is a 13, and then you would, oh God, ain't that the truth. Then you would take the 13 and you would distill it down even further. You only need one number. You want to take it down to one digit unless it's an 11 multiple, unless it's a multiple of 11.
Then what do you do if it's a multiple of 11?
You just keep it a multiple of 11. That's your year. That's your year. You're an 11 year, which is a mastery year. And I'm in a work year. My year is hard work. Surprise, surprise. Yes, everything. Yes, you don't cut out the... Everybody, I know we're trying to figure ours out, but let's listen to all the questions. Yes?
I'm unclear about the value of universal year.
It's about where your focus is this year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply your birthday year.
Yes, you flip your, you take your year of birth out and you put your year of birth in and add the month and day, and that shows your numerological focus for this year. Yes. If it's a multiple of 11, your focus is your mastery. Your mastery. So mastery in ones is your mastery of your independent personal expression and your independent voice. Mastery of that. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
You guys.
You know, since your birthday hasn't happened yet, you're not a four till your birthday. So
yeah, no, actually, as soon as the year starts. As soon as the year starts. Yeah. Yeah. But then, so in 2004, for 11 months of 2014, I'm still going to be vibrating to a 2013. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know. That was in, oh, okay. Well, what we know you know what? That could be the case. Birthday to birthday. And as a matter of fact, now that you mentioned it, I have heard that before. I think Chuck told me that before. So you can, your year, universal year can be from birthday to birthday, like 2000. Oh, this is good. I get to work. I'm already working. I'm not working yet. I'm not working hard yet.
November, you go to your next year.
So this starts in November of 2013.
Right.
So I've been working my butt off all year and get a whole nother year to do it, huh? Aren't I lucky? Any questions? So she says it goes from birthday to birthday. But actually, I would at least consider that that energy's in place once you hit that year. Because I have to tell you, I don't do anything but work.
Can you imagine that?
I mean, I don't do anything but work. I don't know what next year's going to be. You're going to find me hanging by my toenails. Okay. So there's your universal year and your personal year, how to figure that out with your numerology. I don't know how, but we always get to that in some of my classes. Okay, so do we have partners whom we haven't read for before?
Yes.
If you are with someone you've read for before, you need to change. Yes. You need a partner. And she needs a partner. Wait.
What's that?
Oh, wait, yes, you're doing yourselves first. I'm sorry, thank you. I forgot. Oh, but wait, it's already 4:05. We're gonna stay a few minutes after because I was late from lunch, so. And we were late from lunch, so. Okay, I want you to do a quickie for yourself because I do want you to get a reading in and a reading done. Yes. You don't have to write lay a signifier. Just let your first card be the card that covers you be the signifier. Okay?
And both ours and the next person are going to be the signifier.
Yes, don't use a signifier, you guys. Just, I mean, let the card that covers you, the first card, be signify what you need to focus on and do that with your other people too. Let the first card out that covers you signify what you need to focus on about that individual. Okay? All right, very good. Ote Pinky. I said Ote Pinky. Don't you remember?
Okay.
Buckwheat?
No, that was way before my time.
Why did you say Pinky?
Huh?
Why'd you say Pinky?
Ote Pinky. Buckwheat used to say that to Spanky. And the Little Rascals, am I the only old person here? No. Oh, no. No. Ote Pinky. I have a friend says, that's easy for you to say. Okay, everyone. Okay. So how are you liking the Celtic Cross? I don't think it's quite as informative as it could be. It's kind of general, and even some of the positions like hopes and fears, and yes, it tells the reader about what the person hopes and fears, but you know, the rest of the cards, and indeed the person could tell the reader about what they hope and fear, right? So, but we're going to be doing, tomorrow morning, we're going to start with the Wheel of Fortune. So, and I don't know, I really don't know if we'll get to the Major Arcana tomorrow. The Wheel of Fortune is a big thing because it's a lot of astrology.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes. So, yes.
Will you bring your gem cast?
Yes, I'm bringing my gem cast and we'll actually show you because it actually is very related to the Wheel of Fortune. So, any questions? Yes. You guys, could we quiet so I can hear, please? Can we be quiet so I can hear, please? Thank you. We'll do it. We can put it up on a table. I don't know if we have a thing we can.
I love the way you interact. Uh-huh.
Do we have, Cindy, do we have like a cork board? I wouldn't mind sacrificing my Hanson Rider deck and put holes in it. But do we have like instead of that board, a cork board or that we could use tomorrow?
Yes is the answer.
Okay. Okay, great. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Okay, super. We'll put the cards up and I'll bring, you know, I'll just keep my cards here in the thing and it, well, they will get holy, but they're already holy.
Yeah,
Oh, okay.
What's that?
No,
it's all right. It's all right. Do we have push pins? Okay, great. Okay. And then, okay. All right. So we'll do that on the board. And we're also going to have, there's a number of different faces of the Wheel of Fortune. So there are actually three handouts that show you the original wheel, past, present, and future, then how to move the cards to make the second wheel, and then the third handout is what how it should be at the end. So there's many layers to this, so it's going to probably take us most of the day tomorrow, but I want you reading it by time the afternoon. So yes, yes, excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, any other question? And what's your homework tonight?
Do readings.
Huh?
One reading.
No, not one reading. We do at least three readings, right? And do the Celtic cross and any of the ones that you wanted from last night. Okay, everybody, thank you.